T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hour number 2 here of Cody and Gold. Gold is off. Binkley's in. Kramer's in for Serta. Got an oddball crew here on the holiday week as the 4th of July weekend upon us.
That's one way to describe us.
Did you? I mean, you guys are kind of an odd crew.
We are
here
that.
Calling Kramer a virgin who has a virtual girlfriend, and it's a lot going on between you
we've
two.
We've spent a lot of time together since the
This is probably the person you see the most now in your life.
Sadly. Yes.
More than your own family, Kramer.
Sadly.
It is true. We see each other for tonight's game 87. Royals.
We got two games tonight.
Yeah, it's the doubleheader tonight. The Royals would have played game 87 tonight against the Diamondbacks. That's who would have been in town. Arizona Diamondbacks and Madison Bumgarner and crew. Matt Bum pitched last night, as I mentioned, but tonight would have been game 80. We're that close to 100 games that would have happened in Major League Baseball had they played it.
Oh my God.
We're 27 games past what they're going to do.
Now I'm just praying we'll get in 60 games. Coming up in 8 minutes or so, we'll get you our countdown to opening day. We'll talk more Royals baseball on that end. But first, we've got testing day in Major League Baseball, Binkley, which means everybody's going to report. And we're going to start finding out the numbers that go with it. And what comes with that is our confidence level in the actual return of baseball. Now you may say, well, they got an agreement done. And I got a date set, and people are showing up to the facilities, but that is really just the first hurdle of this. And I think the key being to this is, I don't know, maybe it was before the deal was done, we went through every sport and said, okay, how optimistic are we the NFL will happen, the NBA will happen, the NHL will happen, and Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball was my lowest at that time, partially because they just didn't have a collectively bargained agreement earlier. So that doesn't help anything. But then you hear people around baseball. On Monday morning on Golic and Wingo, Buster only had this to say on what the odds were a 2020 season would end with a champion crowned. His exact response, 0%. And then when asked what the odds of the baseball season being played is planned, 5%. Buster only is so convinced baseball won't happen, he put the chances at someone being crowned a champ at 0% and it being played like they were planning on at 5%. This has got to be seriously concerning news for most of us because Buster Olney is tied into baseball. Yeah. Maybe he's just a pessimist when it comes to this because I'm higher than 5%. Oh. But for the people who think it's a 95% chance baseball is just going to go down without a hitch, I don't know. I can't look around the state of the United States at the moment as far as things closing again in certain areas or mask requirements in certain areas and think that there's 100% chance baseball is going to be played because it doesn't feel that way.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm at probably 75% chance they're going to play. I know that.
I kind of wish I was that.
I'm trying to be the optimist. I was really negative before when all the talks were going back and forth and no one was. Derek Jeter even came out and said that he think it did harm to Major League Baseball with the embarrassing contract talks is what Jeter had said. But I'll put it to 75% chance to at least start it. Now, I'm kind of with Buster only, but I'm not going to say 0% chance they crown a champion because I think they will find a way to crown a champion. Now, baseball is full of asterisks. And a lot of people like throwing asterisks on certain stats and numbers and milestones that do happen in Major League Baseball. And I think this will be one of those years. I mean, after all, they're talking about who can hit 400 in a 60-game season, which could happen. And I told Kramer that contracts are going to be interesting in Major League players. What if they have some stipulation in their contract? If I hit 360 or above, which no team thought, no way in hell this guy will hit 360 in a full 162, does it in 60 games, what are you going to do? But I'm the eternal optimist, Cody. I'm the eternal optimist that does say 75% chance. Today could change my mind. By the end of business today, close of business, I could completely change my mind if these tests come back, and it's a rash of them. Already the Twins, what, have the bullpen coach and the bench coach not even going to be coaching because they're worried about COVID? That's concerning to me because that's something that's not right.
By the way, the Royals just announced season ticket members will be offered the chance to order hard plastic cutouts of their likeness to be displayed in a seat at Kauffman Stadium during the 2020 season. Initial up to 500 fambassadors, as they're calling them, will be available. Each cutout will be $40. A portion of the proceeds will go to the Royals charity as well.
I was going to bring that up to you. I was holding on to it. Like you with your topic, I was holding on to this information.
And this is all, I mean, it's all related to the same thing. I mean,
this is the Giants.
See, like
and
the
then
Giants
the
saying,
A's
hey, there's going to be no fans. You're like, okay. But the Royals were optimistic as of even yesterday. They still get some fans.
But $40 is a bargain for this because everybody else, like $100, $140. Cardboard cut out of your likeness. Now, the cool thing with the A's is I think they're giving you foul balls if one hits you in the noggin.
I'll do both. I would love
you got to be a season ticket member to get this from the Royals, but that is brilliant. That is brilliant.
Should there be some options whether or not if you are if you are or not one, maybe?
Cutouts
would
be available.
I would totally do it.
So we're at the point now, and we laugh about what's virtual and what's not virtual. This is interesting. Your own cutout of the stadium instead of you. And this is where we're at. And this is where we're at now. We're getting a cardboard cutout of yourself at a game instead of yourself being at that game.
Better than nothing.
It's considered fun. I know. I'm sitting here saying this is great. 2 years ago, I would have laughed at this. Last year, I would have laughed at this. Now I'm like, hey, it's pretty cool. That's how much things have changed since March. Where I'm thinking cardboard cutout of myself might be cool.
What photo would you use?
I don't know.
I'd want to use an embarrassed,
cheesy smile photo.
Like, wouldn't you want an embarrassing one in a way?
We should do one for 6:10 and have us all out there in the stands. Cardboard cutouts of us. Holding Vern.
God, I'm trying to, like, think about which photo of me as a kid, maybe, in a Royals shirt. I don't take that many photos of myself. That makes it problematic, I guess.
Here's the thing. If you were a kid in that, wouldn't that cardboard cutout be very small?
True.
Depends, man. I don't know if they're going to make them actual height of the person.
Which, like, I think they should.
Do you send it? Oh, you think they should send in their height?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
You know, Cody, I got a picture of me as a kid.
I'm
going to
guess they're all the same height. You got a picture of yourself as a kid?
At the 1980 World Series.
Oh, that's the one, then.
That's the one.
That's got to be the one. I'm, like, scrolling through
cotton
just, like,
candy in one hand, nachos in the other.
I'm scrolling through recent photos of myself.
And I hate cotton candy.
I don't think any of these are going to work.
I really do. As much as I hate clowns.
Hey, you do hate clowns a lot.
I do, Cody. But I would use a cardboard, probably a recent picture, you know. I would have my hands up like this, though, for the foul balls. You know, you just got to have your hands up a little bit.
I could see, yeah. I mean, some version of that. But this is all the problem. It's that we don't really have, until we get the actual testing numbers being clean, I can't be confident that I'm above 5%, but I'm not sure I can be above 50% until we get the full testing numbers from Major League Baseball that this is going to happen.
But I'm the
eternal
optimist.
Because we're still having to do all of these things just to find out if people can show up.
I'm the dumbass about college football previews last weekend. Yeah. So I know we're going to get to there, but that's where I sit.
I sat through an hour on just how a media member would access the game.
I'm glass
They're only allowing
full, Cody.
35 people in, and we're the lowest tier of importance. And even still, I don't feel like there's confidence in there. We'll see. Buster only saying 0%. That a champion to be crowned does not make me feel good, Binkley.
Well, you were Royals insider. I was one too. Our current Royals insider. What the hell's he been doing?
Hanging out, I guess.
And if baseball's canceled, what the hell's he going to do? This is the lost year of Vern.
We'll ask him in an hour. Vern will join us coming up at 12:30. Don't forget, you can take us with you on the radio.com app. It's free to use. Download your favorite sports station. Plus, you know, you can just say to your smart speaker, hey, Google, hey, Alexa, play 610 Sports Radio, and they'll make sure they take care of that as well. Binkley, something after your own heart is college football. Not about whether they'll play yet. We'll get to that in just a minute. But I took serious issue with this a few weeks ago because I saw universities like Ohio State University mentioning things like the Buckeye Pledge, which seemed oddly like a waiver of liability that players were being asked to sign is they returned to campus, saying things like they could lose their scholarship if they tested positive for COVID or didn't take the proper steps in protecting themselves and then tested positive for
ludicrous.
COVID. But at least a group of senators are now submitting a bill to prohibit schools from compelling athletes to sign those waivers. And all I have to say to that is, yes, obviously. Two senators submitting that bill, both Senator Richard Blumenthal from Connecticut and Cory Booker from New Jersey, are submitting that. You could not ask players who were unpaid to sign waivers of liability away just because you think they should. College athletes, this is another reason why you should look at them for the exploitive nature that they already do. How could you ask them to sign that? And what good, by the way, like Gold had told me yesterday, be like, well, I'd be fine if they signed like a pledge, right? To be safe. It's the same as asking some kid at like church camp at 17 to sign an abstinence pledge. You can't be sure that's gonna go down. Come on. It means, or Kramer in college to sign a pledge like in Dazed and Confused that he wouldn't use pot. It didn't mean anything. If they sign it, they shouldn't have to sign anything to return to school.
I'm with you. And you know what? Some of these schools got to start thinking about college football. Which states are the bars closed? Does that mean the players are going to be safer at those particular schools? Do you look at that when you make your betting? They're going to be safer because the bars are closed in college towns in certain states? Well, you look at teams from Florida and Texas differently now?
You can't.
These kids are, no, you can't have them do it, man. It's ridiculous because you can get this from grandma. You can be as safe as you want. As safe as you want.
It requires other people
and
wearing masks.
You're going
masks
to the grocery store to buy some kebabs for the weekend and you get COVID. You're buying toilet paper and you get COVID. Yes, you weren't at a bar.
You have a roommate.
But how are you going to prove it? Just say, hey, I was at the grocery store and I got this. You're not going to say, hey, man, I was sitting down at the bar and I got this. Say, no, I was at the grocery store.
Not to mention, you play football with like 100 other people on a college campus.
Yeah.
How are you going to backtrace who I got it from? This was just a way for them to hold people accountable and to get out of scholarships if they wanted to, which is crazy. And you shouldn't be doing that anyway, especially in a sport that they don't pay. That's the problem with college football. They're trying to hold them to a professional sports standard, which is unfair and also unrealistic. Like, you shouldn't, I don't know why this seems so obvious, but yes, obviously there should be a rule, or you just shouldn't ask people to have to sign those. And I know the schools are like, whoa, 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 it's not a waiver of liability. It's just a pledge to remain safe. I'm like, why would you ask them to sign that? In what world?
They if it doesn't have more mean risk anything, at school than they do out of it.
By the way, if it doesn't mean anything, does it really matter?
No.
Didn't you fill out in fifth grade your DARE pledge?
Yes.
Did it stop you, Bink?
No.
Did it stop you from ever having a drink of alcohol?
No.
Yeah, it didn't. It turns out the DARE pledge did not hold me accountable for the rest of my livelihood. I didn't frame it on my wall and then hold myself to that standard for the rest of life.
I made a pledge that I would stop cussing or I would pay money to a jar.
Did it work?
No.
Oh, gosh, that would be bad news for me. I can't stop
cussing.
I should definitely have a curse jar.
I'm still trying to figure out what the DARE thing is.
It's getting kids off drugs, Kramer.
Are you from Kansas City?
It's normal.
No, St. Joseph.
So still, in St. Joe, they didn't have it. So in Kansas City, there's a program called DARE. Drug Abuse Resistance Education. Is that
Kramer doesn't know a lot of things, by the way. Yeah. So anything that happened pre-2000, he doesn't know. He still has Kellen Moore as a top five quarterback of all time.
Look at his stats. Go
I'm
for
not
it.
Kidding you. I'm not kidding you. He does not recognize anything that happened before 2000 at all.
Okay. Well, that's
it's beyond ridiculous.
But that part's ludicrous.
He also said Wayne Gretzky was overrated last night.
It was a drug education program designed at young children to keep to you know, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, no.
But
to educate
him, but like at the end, you know, they'd ask you questions like, "Our officer was Officer Gridiron," which is, to be honest, pretty badass.
That was his name.
He's an actual cop. His name is Officer Gridiron.
Did he play football?
I don't know, but that's a badass name for
a cop. Yeah, it is.
Just like on that end. So I should already be paying attention to this guy.
Clearly. Yeah, Gridiron.
But like at the end of that, they'll ask you things like, do you think you'll ever have a sip of alcohol? Raise your hand. And everybody leaves their hand down. And I'm like the one kid like, I mean, look, let's be realistic here. Officer Gridiron, let's be realistic. You're asking me now as a fifth grader if I'm getting into it. Nah, I'm good. But if you're asking me if I'm ever going to, let's have a standard here.
Officer Gridiron put you down on the floor.
Let's be realistic. I was trying to be honest with him. Like
yes.
that,
Which
I was trying
good.
To be honest
Which
with Officer Gridiron.
Let's be honest. Yeah,
I think my exact answer
policy.
Was like, maybe I would like some champagne at my wedding. It's Don't true. Hold me back. Like, we don't know what's going to come of this. So, like, those, like, that's what signing a pledge would do. It doesn't, it offers no actual thing of substance.
Non-binding agreement. It's like a handshake agreement that's not actually legal. You have to sign something.
Which is why would you even, like, and that
it's
was
like
the point.
LOI, like, it's like LOIs are commitments. I mean, yeah. The LOI is official,
know,
but that's commitments are not from college athletes.
Yeah, which is why Gold was saying, like, I'd be fine if they still signed something just as long as it wasn't, like, a waiver of liability. I'm like, but what would the point of signing it be? Like, I mean, yeah, you could ask them to sign it, and I guess now I'm not offended because they can't take things away from them. But what does it actually accomplish? Do you think that 21-year-olds, I don't even look at the terms of service of things I sign now. I sign all kinds of things without paying attention.
I do.
They just handed you some waiver in college, you would have been like, sure, coach.
You ever read a mortgage?
I mean, I'd sign it, but it wouldn't do anything.
You ever read a mortgage?
Oh, yeah, man.
Now, if it's something serious, I'll read it. Like, I don't think I read a book in college.
Kramer, I don't think you've ever read a book.
Not in college.
In college? What did you go to school for?
Media.
Yeah, I don't read a lot of books, I guess, in that department.
Nope.
But some, you would think, a book.
He probably doesn't even know what the Dewey Decimal System is. Do you?
I've heard of it.
My books at home are lined up in the Dewey Decimal System. You got a problem, Kramer. Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll get to the Chiefs' red half hour. We'll reevaluate the Chris Jones situation as last night he sent out a tweet suggesting the possibility of holding out if they weren't able to come to a long-term deal with Kansas City, and whether or not road travel could look different in the NFL this season. But we'll get to the countdown to opening day, as we do every day at 11:15. We take a look at a different Royals topic that could be affecting Kansas City this upcoming season. And I went today, Mink, with one after your own heart. The possibility of a larger rotation or the use of openers could either be a possibility. Let's start with this quote from J.J. Piccolo, who joined us yesterday here on Cody Gold, who talked about this when I asked if there could be a six-man rotation.
Potentially. You know, I know that's been reported. I personally haven't spoken to Mike Matheny or Cal Eldred about it, but, they're going to have to be creative early in the year, you know, until we see what type of shape guys are in. We know they've been working, but it's a little bit different when you're facing hitters and you're playing in inner squads to see how many innings guys can go. If five starters are ready to go five, six innings, it might not be necessary. But if we feel like we need to help our pitchers get through the first month of the season, you may see things like that. You know, I've been asked questions about the opener. Will we use the opener? And I think the opener is going to be a little bit different form of the opener this year, because it might be three or four innings, whatever you can get out of them, and then you just have another long man behind them. But teams are going to have to get creative with getting their pitchers through the first month of the season. Then they should settle in for the last month of the season. So it's certainly a different time and place, a different scenario than we've ever been in. But we've got some bright minds in our clubhouse and across baseball, and you may see some things done a little bit differently this year, and it'll be fun to see how it impacts the game in the future.
They're gonna have to get creative with the rotation, Bink. And the question is, will they actually do something like that? And I think for the first time, I don't know if it's going to be a true opener, like Piccolo said, but we're going to have some, like, four-inning starts from guys, because who the hell is going to be ready to throw
Was it Zimmer and Staumont that were used as the openers in Omaha?
Both those guys were using AAA. Ian Kennedy would make a lot of sense.
Here's the thing about the opener and why I think it makes sense this year. I think it makes more sense this year than any other year, to be quite honest with you. And I'm a fan of the opener. And you know what? I asked Dayton Moore that question. A couple years ago, it was at the end of the – you were there, Cody. It was at the end of the year press conference. And I said, what do you think about the openers? And he said, listen, in baseball, you got to get 27 outs. Now, how you derived to that point, I'm not sure. But that, to me, said, I'm open to the opener. Give me 27 outs. And they're clearly open to it because they were doing it in Omaha. And I know Matheny worked on a lot of analytics this offseason. But the games start going this way. I mean, the Rays did it, and it was a novelty. And I remember asking Ned about it. He was like, give Cash some credit. He's thinking outside the box, right?
Yep.
It's a little cute little thing, let Tampa do it, right? And then all of a sudden they played the Rays. And they came back and they saw openers, except for Snell. Snell was like one of the few pitchers in the rotation that didn't have an opener. And I said to him, all right, you got to see. And he goes, kind of like a gimmick. He called it gimmicky, kind of, right? And then all of a sudden, later in the season, we saw the Minnesota Twins doing it. Not only that, the Minnesota Twins would imply the fourth outfielder. I don't remember, if you remember that, but when the Twins would do that, they would, against certain hitters, they'd imply the fourth outfielder. And Then all of a sudden, I asked that. I said, "Is this?" And then all of a sudden, that playoffs, we saw a ton. We didn't see as much of it this year, but the year before, remember the Brewers doing it?
Sure. And there were multiple teams this year who used it.
You know what? And I think this year would be prone to it with limiting the pitchers, because who knows? There's a lot of guys that were working out, and clearly a lot of the Twitter videos you saw. But you didn't also see these guys probably sitting on the couch.
It's not against live hitting for seven innings.
But you didn't see these guys sitting on the couch through March eating cheeseburgers and watching Joe Exotic. You know what I'm saying? There was some downtime there between playing. But I will say this is the year I would do it, because I think there's several candidates for it that would be interesting for the opener, two- and three-inning guys. And I think this year would be really interesting. The sixth starter, I can see this actually in the future of the game. I think that's where we're going, protecting.
I do too.
Because we used to see the complete game used to be a huge
problem. Is
deal.
They don't have enough depth at starting pitching in Major League Baseball to go five deep. That's why the starter comes into play. You go six deep and they only go four innings, five innings, 26-man rosters. That means you've got an extra bullpen arm. You cover your ass. I mean,
complete
that kind of
games
stuff.
Used to be a normality in Major League Baseball. How many complete games the Royals have? Remember when Jeremy Guthrie did it a few years ago in Arizona and it was a big deal? He threw a complete game, saved the bullpen. But the complete games are completely gone. So is the two- and three-inning saves that we see with like a guy like Eckersley. Just the game's evolving, the game's changing. And I do think we get to that sixth starter option sooner rather than later. But it does rock a pitcher's timing. Because like just like Pedro Martinez used to have a routine. He'd pitch, and then he did something on the day after. Day after that, he didn't.
They like the routine.
He liked his routine. Baseball is, unlike any other sport, they're more of creatures of habit than I've ever seen.
Yes.
Ever seen with superstitions.
Especially
and the way that they
starting
do things.
Pitchers. Those are the ones who are
happy. Oh, completely
superstitious. Then I talked to Ian Kennedy. He switched to the bullpen. He's like, this is going to be totally different. I got to have a new routine.
I even talked to him about openers.
Essentially, what he did was just steal Greg Holland's routine.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, it's just a different routine. You know what would happen if you had an opener on most of your starts? You'd find a new routine. Everything would start up an hour later because somebody's going to go the first 3 to 6 outs. And you know that. And it's no big deal because that guy's going to go that no matter what. It just pushes when you start in the game. And yes, like there are managers who be like, well, it's 27 outs one way or the other. What does it matter when they come in?
Yeah.
Well, the Rays are proving that maybe it helps to do it at the beginning. We don't really know because we don't have a large enough statistical, sample size to tell you that it's definitively better to have that guy get the 3 outs at the beginning than at the end.
The Rays are small market.
We don't
this
know.
Is the one way that they could compete. They remind me of Louisiana Tech with like Tim Mertay quarterback. They ran like the spread offense before anybody else did, right? It was their only way to compete against some of the big dogs who spread things out, put 5 wide receivers. Now everybody does it. But the Rays are kind of thinking outside the box. Baseball's changing though, Cody. We're seeing that with the 3-pitcher minimum or 3-hitter minimum with pitchers. You can't have the specialists come in anymore.
No.
They got to go 3 pitchers. Now we're seeing the guy on second base in extra innings. Yes, for this year, but I think it's coming to Major League Baseball sooner rather than later. Then I kind of got that with J.J. Piccolo. He wasn't a fan of it at first, but he said that more coaches and managers kind of like it. Didn't they? What he told you on that interview?
Yeah,
I think we're going to see this.
They become more analytically driven as things have gone on and on and on. It's still like that's still a leap. You were still in the minority if you decide to use an opener. And what I think is going to happen is they're going to just limit starting pitchers, and they're going to use more multi-inning guys, which is actually where Kansas City could benefit. Stammon, Kennedy, Zimmer, however you want to look at those guys, they got plenty of guys who can go 2-3 innings, and they're going to need to rely on that, especially early bank. When they got those 30-man rotations, there's no reason not to use those guys in those innings then, because why put a guy out there to risk himself for 7 innings when he's barely thrown the entire offseason?
I personally think Danny Duffy would excel in that.
I do too. I absolutely do. But Danny Duffy, he's a quality starter. I think he's even better as a bullpen arm. And if you start asking him to go 2-3 innings,
if you can limit pitchers from seeing the third time through rotation, and you can consistently have pitchers face hitters twice through the cycle, and you could replace them before the third time
an effort to completely vary the style of pitching people are going to see from time
absolutely.
To time.
Righties, lefties,
like whoever's coming in behind Duffy always throws 99. And whoever's coming in behind, Keller sometimes can bring in 95, 96, 97. Yep. Whoever's coming in behind him maybe throws 91 out of the pen, but is more breaking curveball stuff. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to work it.
It's really weird. And we saw with Mike Minor when he was with the Royals.
He'd be another good choice in this.
He lost 5 miles an hour off his fastball when he was a starter.
Yep.
They put him in the bullpen. He got 5 more. And he kept it. He went to Texas, had a great year last year.
He did.
But he kept that velocity. But for some reason, that mindset from going from bullpen to starter, he had lost 5 miles an hour, which is significantly different when you're throwing 91 to 96.
That happened to Greinke. Greinke gassed it up and then realized, oh, I can go that high. Now he doesn't anymore. He throws like 89.
Yeah.
He, for a while, when he went to the bullpen, was pumping 99, 98, and then when he came back as a starter, it's like, oh, turns out maybe I can just crank it up that high all the time, which we'll see more of this year. Coming up in 90 seconds, Serta will have your fantasy flash. Talk about how much he likes Ronald Jones. When we come back, the Chiefs, red half hour is coming your way, including Chris Jones, who talked about the possibility for the first time of holding out on Twitter last night if he can't get a deal done. We'll do that next here on Cody and Gold.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at caseylend.com. Chiefs Red Half Hour, every day at 11:30 on Cody and Gold.
We'll get back to Royals in 1 hour when Josh Vernier joins us here on Cody and Gold, but it is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Jay Binkley in for Gold. Kramer's back there for Serta. Hi, Cody Tapp. We'll stick with you for the rest of the holiday week. We're going to talk about Chris Jones coming up here in 7 minutes. What other options might be available to Kansas City, as last night on Twitter, he hinted for the first time at the possibility of sitting out via his, you know, a la his friend Le'Veon Bell, if a long-term deal's not reached with Kansas City. But across football, they continue to look for solutions for how to handle COVID times. You know, there were reports even earlier in the week about how the NFLPA has started to, you know, ask questions about how they're planning on handling these things. One of the things that is coming up as a possible solution for this, Binkley, is travel. Now, we've talked about, like, limiting practices and some of the things that come with, you know, that can keep people safe in minor amounts of time, where you shave 1% of on-field time, 2% of on-field time. I talked about in Major League Baseball how starting a guy in the 10th inning, the average length of game would change by about a half inning. That half inning would equate to about 3%. If you're on the field 3% less against players you don't know, you're reducing your risk. What the NFL is considering, and I'm curious if this has an impact for Kansas City, is one of their plans would be teams trying to travel in 4 games on game day. Now, current league policy says you got to arrive the day before. And I wonder, there's a couple of things that I like and don't like about this plan. For the rest of the NFL, wouldn't it be hard to play a football game having traveled into a city that day, then play a noon kickoff, and then bounce out after? I feel like there's got to be some physical stuff that would make, I know it's not jet lag, but I feel like even just like a 2-hour flight to Denver, I feel like it'd be kind of hard to say, let's fly into Denver at what, 6 a.m, kick it for a few hours before the game starts and then go. It feels like all of the stuff that would be necessary to fly into game day would have an actual impact on people's ability to play.
You'd be staying at a hotel there instead of there, which you're still in a hotel. That's interesting. The jet lag, I do think, exists. This could be one of those years you bet the home team. I'll tell you that. If this is the case, bet the home team. Because last year we saw a lot more road teams win than they typically have. You know what I'm saying? But the one thing about the Players Association, have you noticed what they do? They will tweet out Fauci. Like, the NFL goes with their own doctors, and the NFLPA will typically use
Fauci.
They sent out something a couple weeks ago where it had Dr. Fauci, and that's what the Players Association went to. And that really rung a bell with me, like, wait a minute. You know, they're going by what he says. And what if he says, hey, you can't do this? I think they take what he says to heart more than any other Players Association I've seen. They like Fauci. But the bottom line is travel a day of the game is interesting, but I think it would be weather contingent, because I do think if storms were in the area,
yeah,
they would go the night before. Or a snowstorm, I think they would rearrange it and still go the night before, because relying, remember when the Chiefs didn't have their bags?
I mean, if it's a Monday night football game, okay, but a noon kick?
Do you remember when the Chiefs didn't have their bags? Like, it was on a flight, they ended up in the wrong place. So they didn't have their bags. I could see this stuff happening everywhere. Where, see, nowadays,
that was a playoff game, wasn't it?
Yeah, I remember. No. It was New England, wasn't it?
It was New England, yeah.
And it ended up in Boston.
Of course it was New England.
But no one ended up in New Jersey, and then they truck it over. But here's the thing. This stuff happens. Guys forget stuff. You know, helmets are left. But you know what? You have extra time to get them there. Because the team gets there the day early. You have a full day. You know what? The thing that happened to the Chiefs happens a lot more in the NFL than you realize. But no one knows it because you have that extra day to get stuff there, so it's not a big deal. It became a big deal because the Chiefs were getting ready to play a game. But you have that extra day to get it there.
Yeah.
So I would wonder about that. They'd have to be extra careful before they did things. I don't have any problem with them flying in the day of the game. And the Chiefs, with so many primetime games, I don't think it would affect them at all. But Man, you think the Arrowhead advantage is big now. Well, and if there's no fans there, I don't know how big of advantage. It's like playing a football game, so I don't know what they're going to do. We don't know what they're going to do with fans yet. We don't have any idea as far as that's concerned. But
This could be a serious advantage for Kansas City. They play a bunch of games. They have the least amount of games in a normal noon time slot.
You can't do those cross-country flights from teams like the Raiders when they went and played the Jets.
So you'd
can't
only
do
it some of the time?
Yeah, but NFL you can't bring the Raiders out. No. When they played the Jets last year, you can't go from Oakland, New York, and play that same day. That's
NFL
ridiculous.
Teams like consistency, too.
That's ridiculous.
They're not going to be like for some games flying out the day of and then for others flying out.
We've all flown. Even chartered. These are commercial jets. They fly unless you're the Patriots and own your own plane. They charter from United and American and Delta and all this. What if they have a mechanical? That can happen all the time with these teams.
It's way too risky.
Imagine if they were going to do the London. If they were going to go to London.
Oh, they're not.
I know.
Jettison that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And for those games, I think they made them be there the week ahead of time. Like, they were required there to be 7 days in advance for the London trip because they've got a bunch of, like, press stuff they make them do in addition to it. I mean, we make exceptions for these things all the time. Super Bowl week's different than others. But it could be, I mean, if they actually employed it and teams did it, Kansas City would at least not have to, like, they'd at least have more time in the day to accomplish it.
But you're talking about a team arriving and then getting all the equipment to the stadium.
I know.
And again, like I told you, I think things are missing quite a bit that ended up on another plane at some time later to teams. And it's just a big cluster, getting the stuff there on time, getting the equipment. I can see a lot of problems arising from this, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, it seems to me, I know, like, if you just want to waive the rule to give the team the choice, fine, but it doesn't make sense to me why teams would actually do it. Let's put it that way. It doesn't make sense to me, the team to do it.
From the 620, can't they just wear their pants and carry their helmet, jersey, shoulder pads like we used to? LOL. This is how we used to do road games in high school football, right? We'd wear
a
uniform.
How much equipment those guys have? Just one person?
Like, Mahomes isn't sitting on that plane with his pants on and holding his shoulder pads. No, it's like...
He's trying to get comfortable. Might be using some more of that private jet money to get himself there if that's the way it's going to go down. Rather than, I'll take my own bag. Thanks, fellas. 913-576-7610 is the Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line. Get you in on the conversation. Don't forget to take us along with you. On the radio.com app, just tell your smart speaker, hey Alexa or hey Google, play 610 Sports Radio. Last night, Bink, Chris Jones took to Twitter to quietly respond to a couple of tweets about his potential contract situation, insinuating last night the possibility of a holdout. To be exact, somebody had sent out a message about, you know, Chris Jones and the franchise tag, and his response to Arrowhead Live, you know, doing a flat face emoji was, or I won't play. At Le'Veon Bell told me about this. He then responded again to somebody else, you know, Le'Veon Bell, who had said, no, I just know my worth. We know Le'Veon Bell worked out with him a couple of months ago or last year leading into the offseason as well. The question is now, what are the options? Like, do we really think Chris Jones is going to hold out? And let's say he is for part of it, but not the entire season. What is Kansas City's play? To me, there is a couple of plays. You franchise tag him this year and he actually signs it, which he hasn't yet, by the way. He can wait as long as he wants essentially to sign that, but he'd have to miss the rest of the regular, you know, miss parts of the regular season if he chose to wait a little while. He can sign it and then they can franchise tag him next year and try to trade him, which probably is not going to go over well. And he's not likely to sign that tender. Someone will have to work out a long-term extension for him. Who's going to give him the deal? Or they can look to do player for player. Now Chris Jones for Jamal Adams straight up doesn't seem as crazy. Or Chris Jones to a team that will give you a high second, late first, and then you go sign Jadeveon Clowney. If I gave you that hypothetical, would you take that over the risk of Chris Jones not playing? If I gave you Jadeveon Clowney for $14 million this single year and a high second round pick, would you take that so you don't have to risk the holdout from Chris Jones? And we'll take your answers too, 913-576-7610. Because before I'd have told you no way, I went Chris Jones for a year. If Chris Jones is serious about holding out, I have to entertain it a little bit more.
I think I would if I was certain and 100% guaranteed you were going to have a season.
Oh, yeah.
But with uncertainty, I mean, you signed Clowney for three. Well, if you don't have a full season or half, well, I guess it wouldn't matter if you didn't have a full season or not. But I was concerned about the Le'Veon Bell thing as well, him advising him. But I think Jones has a look at one thing, salary cap. It's much different. Now, if Pat Mahomes took a percentage of the salary cap as his contract, I mean, the first player to take something that goes along with the salary cap. He has the power to do it, to fluctuate it. But I think with the uncertainty of that, you have to take those things in the to equation. And I think the Chiefs are in a situation where I thought he'd play for the tag. I just did. Now I,
I always did. I still kind of lean that way.
I would take a first and like a third for Chris Jones. And I said this around the draft too. I would take it on the first round pick if that's what a team was willing to give for Chris Jones. And I'm shocked it didn't come to fruition. I'm shocked that DeForest Buckner got the money he did. And Chris Jones is exponentially better, as we're saying, maybe the top one or two players in the NFL defensively behind Aaron Donald. I thought the Chiefs could have gotten value. And you add on this COVID with the unknown and the known. He's a known. He's a known commodity.
Sure.
I thought the Chiefs would have been able to wheel and deal Chris Jones, and I halfway wonder if they thought they would be able to as well.
I guess, you know, I still feel like he's going to.
Well, it's like arbitration goes with baseball. They tell bad you are at certain things. You know, Chris Jones can't stop the run on this. This is stuff from the organization.
Chris Jones is a much better player than Jadeveon.
But essentially, it's like baseball arbitration a little bit, which
yes.
you hear back and forth.
He's doing this to try to put pressure on the Chiefs to give him the long-term deal he wants.
Yeah.
I just don't know how they afford him and Patrick Mahomes at the same time.
And Frank Clark.
And they made their problem is, yes, the second, and we all know that, the second they signed Frank Clark and then they brought in Tyrann Mathieu, they made it perfectly clear who they were choosing to spend their money on versus Chris Jones.
I think the Frank Clark
and Chris Jones
contract
fully,
spoke volumes to what they thought of Chris Jones.
Chris Jones was coming off of a really good season and only got better since then, so his contract value has justified itself. But here's the thing, Bink. The reason why I would just hold on to him is because in the course of his career, he has earned $6.23 million. Do we really think he's going to let slide 16 mil guaranteed this year? I think this is the pay me. I want you to pay me. What if I didn't play if you didn't pay me? As a way to try to force these negotiations to move somewhere. And there are 14 guys who have been franchise tagged. Do you know how many have been signed to long-term deals? None. Zero. Now, a couple have just signed their franchise tag and took the money, Dak Prescott being one of those. And it doesn't prevent you from signing a long-term contract either, by the way.
Like, the defense just had to improve a little bit from the year before to last year. Can the Chiefs still win a Super Bowl with a top 12 defense? Because I think they could be a top 12 defense.
Is going to be better.
Even without Chris Jones, I think they'd be a top 10 or top 12 defense. That's your question. Can you still win and be a top 10 or 12 defense without Chris Jones? And
I think that's what they were last year, but in the second half, they came back in the playoffs.
Frank Clark had three sacks in that game against the Texans. They made that comeback. They won 51-31 without Chris Jones. Frank Clark was a monster in that game.
He was, but Chris Jones was one of the best players in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but the argument was Chris Jones makes everybody else better, and this was a situation where Frank Clark had three sacks without Chris Jones.
Totally. And yeah, absolutely.
And you've seen the stats with Chris Jones on the field and off the field. The rushing numbers against are better with him off the field.
And the difference between the defense in the first half of the season versus the second half when Frank Clark was healthy or not healthy were significant.
Well, I think the mindset of this team is stopping the run. Like, that's a big reason Willie Gay was drafted. I think this has been the mindset of the players and Steve Spagnuolo, limiting the rushing yards. And you know how prevalent it was with Frank Clark and what he was saying against Tennessee? Yes, Chris Jones got better against the run, but the stats were the stats, showing when he was on the field and when he was off the field. But stopping the run is important to the Chiefs. They can get to the quarterback.
What would you take for Chris Jones right now? 913-576-7610. I am on record and will stand by this. I'd rather have Chris Jones here. I think
you
he's
don't
the
take
most,
less than Frank Clark. You start there and go. You don't negotiate less.
He is the most, in my opinion. I know you said it's Tyrann Mathieu on your end. I think he's the most important player on the Chiefs defense. So I'm not real interested in getting rid of the most important player or a top two important player, depending on how you rank these things. I also don't think, you know, some fans were calling him selfish or he should just want to be on a winner with Mahomes. I'm like, I get that. But you have to remember, he's only made $6 million. He plays a sport where his career could end tomorrow. There's just no way, Bank. There's just no good justification for it. Like, it's just, he's got to get paid at least once. He's going to get $16 million this year if he signs his franchise tag, which is why I still think this is just I don't know if it's a negotiating tactic. I think he's dead serious about considering to hold out because Le'Veon Bell did it. And they are clearly friends.
Well, look at his percentage of defensive snaps last year. 40 when he was healthy, 45 78%, 82%, 76, 83, 47, 64, 84. And you're talking about this production compared to a Tyrann Mathieu that's basically around 100%.
I know, but
he'll play a box safety for you, play up to stop the run. He'll do so many different things for you. What's more valuable, someone that comes in a rotation or someone that's out there every
And he's not
play?
Even a rotation necessarily. And the issue is still, it's how do you pay $200 million to defensive linemen, to two people at the same position? When you're going to have to pay a cornerback eventually, whether that be Charvarius Ward or somebody else, you already have one of the highest paid safeties in the NFL. So you have one of the highest paid players at every position. You probably can't drop that money, especially with the cap being where it's going to be next year.
It's like the Colts. They always paid a handful of guys the money, and they took like seven guys, would pay them the money, and the rest wouldn't get the money. They looked at what their value positions were.
I know.
Patriots the same way. Patriots the exact same way with Ty Law. You know, he was a guy that said, you know what, he's a great, great corner, whatever, we can get rid of him. We can go the Colts did it, Edger and James. We'll see you later. We'll bring in somebody else.
But that's running back, and Ty Law was old.
But what makes this
Chris
team
Jones
go
is
Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes makes this team go.
Oh, I know.
That's who's getting the bag, not Chris Jones.
Well, yeah, Patrick Mahomes definitely getting the bag. Nobody's here to argue that side.
But you can't tie up all your money in two players or three players with a 53-man roster.
Not on the defense. The issue is now with the flat cap, it makes their negotiating point even harder. But Kansas City didn't show any evidence of wanting to sign him before then. Smitty's Garage Beer and Beer text line 913-576-7610. Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll get to what's trending. Plus, Vern will join us at 12:30 to talk some Royals baseball. But James Palmer was on NFL Network yesterday talking about, well, the Chiefs and how they've spent their offseason. Well, they feel like maybe the Lee had Patrick Mahomes figured out is too strong. But why this offseason they've been working on adding wrinkles to their system, James Palmer says it's because the league had a bit of an idea of what they wanted to do against him.
It's been an interesting offseason for the Kansas City Chiefs, Andrew, with all the continuity they have, with all the coaches coming back, with pretty much the entire offense coming back. They have been extremely aggressive about how they want to adapt and evolve moving forward. They scored 114 fewer points last year than they did 2 years ago when Patrick Mahomes won MVP. That's for a couple of reasons. One, Mahomes played a lot of the season hurt. Tyreek Hill was hurt. They had injuries on the offensive line, but also because teams were taking away what they do best. There was a book now on Mahomes, and they had to adjust on the fly. A lot of coverages were coming at him, if you talk to people in Kansas City, that teams just didn't do. They were playing uncharacteristic football against Mahomes, stuff they didn't put on film, and then did it against Mahomes, playing deeper coverage. He said he scrambled around too much, trying to make the big plays when he could have taken the shorter throw underneath. That's one of the adjustments he wants to make. The other aspect of this is, Andrew, they want to find ways to now make their adjustments, and that's what they're doing. And it's not just how they've gone about changing in these virtual meetings. They've been sending things, I'm told, to Mahomes privately. Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy, Mike Kafka, the quarterback coach, all of them with different ideas, sending them to Mahomes this whole offseason saying, what if we did this off of this? What if we changed that and found different ways to combat the way these defenses are playing them? They've been very aggressive. They're one of the last teams to break their virtual meetings, Andrew. They've been working very hard about how they're going to adjust to the way defenses adjusted to Patrick Mahomes this past year.
I mean, I get what he's saying because they did score a lot less points, but they also didn't have Kareem Hunt during that record-setting offensive stretch, and Patrick Mahomes was hurt. I don't know if they, like, figured out some things about Patrick Mahomes as much as he was just limited. I still think injury played way bigger a factor in his performance last season versus that. And by the way, if they did figure some stuff out, he was still, what, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL? Even though they had figured out some things about him, that should tell us all we need to know.
Well, and the 49ers allowed, what, 8 plays over 20 yards through the year last year, and they allowed that wasp play, which was different. Teams are playing them deeper. But I'll say this, and I think this was prevalent with the Chiefs. I don't know if there's a book. I'll simplify this. I don't think there was a book necessarily against the Chiefs. What happened is, and we saw this during Patrick Mahomes' MVP season, teams relying more on the run. And we saw that when the Chiefs lost in the regular season, were teams that control the time of possession by keeping Pat Mahomes on the bench. And by stopping the run, you're giving Pat Mahomes more opportunities to play on the field. That's why I think stopping the run, and really the Chiefs' defense really came together kind of that second half of that Chargers game in Mexico City. That's when you saw the tide kind of turn with this defense. And one thing James Palmer made, a point there he made, which is an excellent point, the Chiefs didn't lose their coaching staff to attrition. Everybody's back.
Yep.
Bieniemy's back. Matt House is back. Brandon Daly's back. Steve Spagnuolo's back. That to me is under talked about. And
all their assistant coaches are
not
back.
Not to mention the Chiefs too. Running it back, and you got people picking Denver. Why would you pick Denver when Andy Reid owns this division and has every AFC West road game this year, either a bye week or a mini bye before it? But 27-3 since 2015. But yes, the players are back, but the coaches are back. You know, it took Steve Spagnuolo a while, and we saw him training camp. We saw him good. We saw him adjusting. And I even asked Spags sometime in training camp, like, man, how much did the OTAs and minicamp, because they kind of really see your system, because Frank Clark was barking a lot in St. Joe. And then we didn't see that materialize in the regular season. We saw that kind of gumption, because this defense actually challenged. Pat Mahomes even mentioned it. This defense challenged him. Unlike he'd been challenged in the past with this defense, it was a free-for-all for Mahomes against the Chiefs defense. He admitted to being challenges with the switches and coverage. I'm saying year two of Steve Spagnuolo, Dave Merritt, Sam Madison, that secondary, Brendan Daly, Matt House, that's exponentially better for the Chiefs. The fact you kept Kafka, you kept Bieniemy. Yes, they're running it back with their players. They're running it back with their coaches as well, which is very important in college athletics. Osborne kept his same staff. Solich and Charlie McBride didn't run off to other coaching jobs. They coached for Coach Osborne, and they stayed there.
Yeah,
Bobby Bowden would have his assistants for a long time. That stuff pays off, the continuity within system. Now everybody goes and gets head coaching jobs different places. That's the way of the world. We pick off the tree. Chiefs didn't have that happen this year, which is really incredible. An under-talked about point is the fact that all these guys are coming back.
And under the new rules, Kaf could be gone anyway. Let's get to last minute.
Last minute. Last minute.
Former NFL quarterback Jay Cutler found out who was killing his chickens. And the corporate... Anybody want to guess what it was?
I mean, he accused the cat, but then later apologized, saying it wasn't. He shouldn't have accused a cat. So I'm going to assume a coyote?
Big?
Some form. Maybe raccoon got loose and got those.
Hey, you're right, Bink. A raccoon is the corporate.
Yes. That's who's killing his chickens?
The man in many stories, Jay Cutler.
Those raccoons.
I was fascinated by that Instagram story. Did you watch that? Jay Cutler was like in full blown like night vision goggle gear trying to figure out who was killing his chickens. It was must watch social media content.
First of all, I haven't seen it. I didn't know it, but I do know the history of raccoons. They're very cunning in what they do. I've caught them on my garage before on poker nights. I've gone out in the garage, all of a sudden this raccoon.
Google, raccoons cunning?
And I've also found that people have these things as pets. They have these razor sharp claws.
You have a raccoon as a pet?
They go in packs, because I saw them.
They call them trash pandas for a reason.
One day, coming out of the storm sewer, right, was the fat one. That was their leader. And all the other ones followed him. But clearly he was getting all the food, because the other ones were skinny and he was fat. Raccoons are very cunning. Not only that, I put fish on a dock, and they'll pull it up with their arms and eat the fish. But if you put bricks in the basket, it makes it more difficult, but they still find a way to do it. Raccoons are very, very cunning.
I had no idea.
They're very, very dangerous.
And they definitely seem like they want to get into stuff, but I didn't necessarily think.
And they're household pets for some people. I don't get that. One
lived in the White House, according. Calvin Coolidge had one.
Yeah, Coolidge is my favorite.
How can you reason with a raccoon?
Is it because he had a raccoon as a pet?
Well, he also would play tricks on CIAs as he will like press the panic button and then go hide and they go find him.
Oh, my God.
620. No, you can't reason with a raccoon.
I'm glad Cutler figured it out. Now he's just got to figure out how to catch the raccoons despite their cunning nature.
Good luck,
says Binkley.
They even look like burglars.
Coming up next on Cody and Gold, we'll get to what's trending. Plus, Binkley's going to be really, really, really sad if college football gets canceled. I'll tell you why I think it might next.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.